lest we forget the American dream.
That's the courthouse over there, Mrs. Slater. City Hall is right across from it. And that's the public library off to the left there. Well, I guess it's not everyone just out of divinity school that gets a chance at a fine pulpit like St. Matthew's, is it, Reverend Slater?
Both Mrs. Slater and I are very grateful, Mr. Williams.
Well, you've got Dr. McLeod to thank for it. A lot of us at the church wanted an older man, but the pastor said a man with your war record who wanted to be a minister was the man he wanted as his assistant.
You can be sure I'll do everything I can to justify his faith in me.
I'm sure you will, Reverend. Oh, there's St. Matthew's straight ahead.
It is.
Yes, I'm sorry you have to see it for the first time from Hunky Town.
Oh, it's lovely. How tall its spires are.
Yes, it is a beautiful church, Mrs. Slater. Best families in town belong to it.
Why is this section called Hunky Town, Mr. Williams?
Oh, it's the nearest thing we have to slums. A lot of riffraff stayed on after the war. They live here.
Oh, I see.
No concern of yours, though, Reverend. The Hunkies don't belong to St. Matthew's, and they won't be here much longer. I can promise you that.
Lest we forget the American dream. Another in this series of programs dedicated to you, to me, to all Americans, and the kind of America we want to live in. Today's story, One of Us, stars Barry Kroger.
Well, Tom, how does St. Matthew's look to you?
It's everything I hoped it would be, Dr. McLeod.
The feeling's mutual, then. From what I've heard, the congregation is delighted with the way you've taken hold. What should we talk about today, Tom? Any problems I can help you with? Anything I can tell you?
Yes, I think there is. Would you tell me about Hunky Town, Dr. McLeod?
Hunky Town? An unfortunate name, Tom.
For an unfortunate part of town, it would seem.
Conditions aren't good there. You see, ours was a small town, and then during the war, a rather large plant was built here.
Yes.
A lot of new people were brought in to man it.
I see. And now the plant is shut down.
Precisely. Many left, but a considerable number have stayed on. There doesn't seem to be as much work as there used to be, and Hunky Town is the result.
I wonder if the church couldn't help.
It's a touchy subject, Tom. Heaven knows there's more than enough to keep us busy ministering to the needs of our own congregation. It isn't that I wouldn't like to help, but... Well, you understand, don't you, Tom?
Yes, you suppose you do understand. After all, Dr. McLeod is not a young man, and you were brought to St. Matthew's to assist him. Your days are filled with parish visits, the Sunday school, Bible lessons, and preaching a sermon every other week. You're kept very busy. There isn't much time to devote to outside things. Until one night on your way home from a visit to a sick parishioner.
Hey, Mac. You got a light?
A light, son?
Yeah, a match, bud. With a cigarette. How about it?
Of course. Here you are.
Thanks. Oh, I'm sorry I talked that way, Reverend. I didn't see your collar.
Forget it, son. I hope you're not smoking too many of those. They cut down your wind, you know.
Also, my appetite. That's not a bad idea.
You mean you're short of food? Well, maybe I can help.
Thanks for the match, Reverend, so on.
No, wait just a moment,
look,
son.
We don't want a handout, Reverend. My father needs a job, and so do I. Do you know where we can get one?
No. But that shouldn't be so difficult.
Are you kidding? Haven't you heard the war's over? There aren't any jobs left in this town. For hunkies.
The lad turns on his heel and disappears into the darkness. And you say to yourself, there's a young man in your town whose heart is filled with bitterness. And you know from experience that such bitterness leads men away from the paths of the Lord. Yes, you're very busy at the church, but the very next day you begin finding time to ask some questions around town.
Well, Reverend Slater, take our employment agency, for example. Frankly, people aren't so keen on hiring them anymore, so we don't send them out for jobs.
Bank deposits were at an all-time high during the war, Reverend. They're down now. Yes, we were just a small town before, and I guess we're destined to be a small town all over again. If those people had any sense, they'd all leave.
This sudden interest of yours in the hunkies, that's why I asked you to stop in, Reverend.
Surely you don't object to that, Mr. Williams.
I'm afraid I do. Like the good book says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, unto God the things that are God's. We think it's taking time from your church duties.
You're putting it very strangely.
Perhaps. However, I prevailed upon the city council to investigate conditions in Hunkytown. I don't think they need concern you anymore.
Well, that's wonderful, Mr. Williams. An investigation was all I wanted. If people know what conditions are really like, I'm sure they'll be remedied.
You say to yourself as you leave that Mr. Williams' conception of a minister's job may be somewhat different from yours, but there's no longer any need for making an issue of it. The city council will act. That's what you tell Mary when you get home.
Yes, I know, Tom. I saw it in the paper today. The investigation is to start in a few weeks.
A few weeks?
It will take about 6 months, and the committee will then bring back its recommendations.
Mary, why should it take so long?
Claude Jackson in his newspaper said it was deliberate.
Really? Let me see.
Here it is, on the editorial page.
Uh-huh. Once again, the city council is pulling a fast one. The council's investigation of what some of our better citizens choose to call Hunkytown will bring in its findings and recommendations in time for election. Promises always bring votes, if not results. Huh.
The old settlers won't be happy till they've gotten rid of the hunkies, Reverend. Stalling, starving them out is one way of doing it.
Yes, but Mr. Jackson, that doesn't make sense. How can a town grow and progress if it loses population?
Well, it's like this. The old settlers did all right during the war. They're ready to retire now, and I guess they'd like the town to retire with them.
Isn't anyone doing anything about it?
Well, I got in my licks today. Have you any other ideas, Reverend?
Yes. Why can't that plant be reopened?
Nobody needs propellers anymore. Not that many, anyway.
Well, all right, but there are other things that they do need. Couldn't a group of men get together and finance that plant and get it producing the things that are needed?
Oh, sure, sure. It's been talked about, but nobody's done anything about it.
Suppose we start a campaign. You in your paper, I in the pulpit. Would it be supported?
Can't tell. It might.
If we could get the Chamber of Commerce interested and the banks, people ought to be willing to invest their money in that plant. We could make it a community enterprise.
It's a good idea, Reverend, but do you know what you're letting yourself in for?
What do you mean?
You'll be bucking the best families in town. Do you know what church most of them go to? St. Matthew's. Your church.
Yes, I see what you mean.
Now, I like your idea, and I'm going to follow it up. Any help you can offer will be appreciated. But if you decide to stay out of it, I'll understand.
Mr. Jackson, suppose you come around to St. Matthew's next Sunday. I think you'll like the sermon.
I'll get it, Tom.
All right, dear.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Slater. Is the Reverend in? I want to talk to him.
Why, yes, Mr. Williams. Won't you come in?
Yes, thanks.
Good evening, Mr. Williams.
Did you see Jackson's newspaper today? That man's ranting is a menace, and dragging you into it, too, saying you're going to preach on the hunkies. Why, he ought to be run out of town.
Won't you sit down, Mr. Williams?
Oh, thank you, thank you. Now, I want you to demand a retraction. Reopening the plant as a community enterprise, why, it's preposterous.
You don't think it would work?
Of course it won't work. Who'd back it? The hunkies? They haven't got any money.
Well, I'm getting very tired of that word hunkies, Mr. Williams.
Oh, all right. Call them boomers, foreigners, riffraff, whatever you like. They're outsiders. They don't belong here, and the sooner they leave, the better off this town will be.
Why is that always your only solution?
This was a nice town before the war, Reverend Slater, inhabited by people who did not speak with accents, who didn't chew garlic, and who didn't blind your eyes with the color of their clothes. We got along without them then, and we can get along without them now.
They were brought here to do a job. They deserve something better than to have the town shut its door in their faces now that the job is done.
Oh. Reverend Slater, I don't like to say this. We brought you here as a minister, and we want you to stay as a minister. But if you prefer to become an agitator for a lot of hunkies, if you insist on it, I say, then we can make other arrangements.
you see Mr. Williams to the door, and you come back into the living room to Mary. You're thinking hard, very hard, and Mary sees the question in your eye. You have to consider her.
Tom.
Yes, Mary.
I want you to do whatever you think is right. Don't think of me at all. And whatever you do will be right, as far as I'm concerned.
Sunday morning comes, and you're still wrestling with the problem, still trying to find the right answer. Should it concern you? Are you a Jeremiah burning with fire to speak out for the Lord against injustice and evil? Is that your job? Or should you just minister to the needs of your church? You look out at the congregation. The church is filled, more crowded than usual. You see Mr. Williams sitting down front, grim and tight-lipped, waiting.
We can make other arrangements.
You see Claude Jackson. First time he's been to church since you've come here.
Any help will be appreciated, but if you decide you'd rather stay out of it, I'll understand.
In the balcony, there are other faces. Faces you haven't seen in your church before. And among them...
The war's over. There aren't any jobs left in this town. For hunkies.
And you see Mary's face looking up at you from the congregation.
Tom, I want you to do whatever you think is right.
There will be those who say that this problem in our community has no place in a house of worship on Sunday morning. To them I say they ask the question Cain asked of God. Am I my brother's keeper? Do we have a responsibility to those of a different faith, to those who do not speak as we speak, to the stranger within our gates? Is it not said, love thy neighbor as thyself? To Cain's question, there can be but one answer. Yes. Yes, I am my brother's keeper. And we cannot turn away the stranger who is within our gates. The stranger who is our neighbor, our brother, one of us. Amen.
Maybe you've sacrificed your job, but you know that if you had it to do over again, you'd make the same decision. And you'll make it again, and again, every time you see prejudice and injustice in America. You're a minister, and a minister, like any other man, serves God through serving his children, all his children alike.
The Institute for Democratic Education has brought you Barry Kroger in the concluding program in its series, Lest We Forget, The American Dream. Dedicated to you, to me, to all Americans, and the kind of America we want to live in, not tomorrow, but today.